time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba here on the Weekend Morning Show, where we say good morning to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nolan.
So remind us, what are we talking about this week?
Well, for the last 4 years in July, for Historic Places Days, the Manitoba Historical Society has released a list of 10 endangered historic structures around the province. The list for 2023 was released last Monday, and I'll discuss places on it today.
So you say that the Manitoba Historical Society has been identifying these endangered structures over the past 4 years. I'm almost afraid to ask, how many of them have been lost?
Well, as far as I know, and I've been tracking this, 6 so far. They include the Gordon House here in Winnipeg that was demolished in 2020, the International Harvester Building in Brandon, demolished in 2021, the Homewood Grain Elevator, 2021, the Tyndall Grain Elevator, 2022, a concrete beam bridge at Homefield, 2022, and perhaps hardest for me to accept, the Elva Grain Elevator, the oldest one in all of Canada. It was destroyed by fire in 2022. But on a more positive note, two of the threatened structures, the flat grain warehouse at Brookdale and the tree planting car in the Sandylands, have both been moved to the Manitoba Agricultural Museum, where they are now being preserved and, I hope, enjoyed for many years to come.
How does the MHS identify candidates for these lists?
Well, of course, we could have a much larger list if a whole lot of people weighed in on it. We do have researchers that know a lot about some of the buildings around the province, and they make suggestions. But we are also open to ideas from the public, too. In general, again, we're looking for places that are at risk of loss, but hopefully where there is a new use that could be found for them. You know, we're not going to consider things that have no hope of ever being used again. So among the suggestions that we had to rule out this year, because, well, in fact, most of them were gone, was Barney's Motel in Brandon. We talked about that a few weeks back, and it's now gone. One that really hurts me is the Saigon Apartments. This is one here in downtown Winnipeg, an innovative block built in 1952 using something called the lift slab method, first of its kind in Canada, demolished in April. It was the very first one in Canada, only the second one in all of North America. Uniqueness, I think, is a virtue. Things that demonstrate new approaches, those are things that, you know, I think should be recognized.
So that's one of the ones that you had to rule out. What is on the list for 2023?
Okay, so we have 10 of them, and I'm going to list them from oldest to newest, starting in 1868 and ending in 1987. So we cover basically 100 years here. The first item on our list is the Customs Building at Emerson. And of course, we talked about it here 4 weeks ago. There are, in fact, several former customs buildings in Emerson, the oldest of which is the one we're talking about, a log building that was the very first customs building in Manitoba. And allegedly, Louis Riel stayed there as he was leaving the province in 1870. It presently sits on the road into Emerson as one leaves Highway 75, and I'm told that the wooden foundation is rotting away and desperately needs attention. So that's why it's on this list.
An example of abandoned customs, as I believe we were talking about
that's
when
right.
It was on Abandoned Manitoba a few weeks ago. Okay, so we've got the customs building in Emerson. What's next?
We have the Winnipeg Hotel on Main Street here in Winnipeg, built in 1881. It's one of the oldest surviving buildings in the downtown. It operated as a hotel until it closed in 2019, and it's been sitting vacant for the past 3 years. What's notable, however, is that there are other historic buildings nearby, the Fortune Block, the McDonald Block, that have been thoughtfully and fruitfully restored. And I'm kind of hopeful that a similar restoration awaits the Winnipeg Hotel, too.
Okay, so we've got two down. What is number three on the list?
That would be the Leacock House, built on Scotia Street here in Winnipeg in 1882 as the residence for a fellow named Edward P. Leacock. He was a provincial MLA. He was allegedly a con man, and listeners might remember him not so much for him, but because of his nephew, writer Stephen Leacock, who wrote numerous books, including my absolute all-time favorite, Sunshine Sketches of a Little Town.
Same here.
Now, the Leacock House has been part of a care facility for youth in the juvenile court system, and it is a municipally designated historic building. And normally that should protect it from any sort of harm. Unfortunately, earlier this year, its owner sought permission to demolish the building. That request was denied by the Winnipeg City Council, but we fear that the owner will keep trying to destroy this attractive old building.
So you say City Council denied the request to demolish it. How does City Council go about making those kinds of decisions when it comes to historic buildings?
Well, they do have a committee called the Historic Buildings and Resources Committee, and they make recommendations based on historical criteria. Now, of course, political considerations may come in as well, and those are the realm of the City Council. So the City Council listens to the recommendations of the committee, they weigh some of these other factors, and then they make a decision. In this case, they decided the Leacock House should be preserved. But who knows? You know, political considerations can change, and that means the building could be at threat in the future.
Political considerations making it one of these endangered buildings. What is number four on this list?
That would be the Craig Block, also on Main Street in Winnipeg, a small two-story brick building that has a connection to the city's Black community that goes back to the 1920s. It was home to the Order of Sleeping Car Porters, which is believed by some to be North America's first Black union. Now, the building has been vacant since 2018, and there have been several nearby buildings that have suffered arson fires in the past few months. And, well, I really hope that a similar fate does not await this significant building.
And, of course, the story of the Order of Sleeping Car Porters preserved on the CBC television series The Porter, which is available on CBC Gem. There seems to be a lot of endangered structures in Winnipeg.
Well, it's only by coincidence that they happen to all be in the same order chronologically. The rest of our list is outside the city, I promise. So number five is the magnificent former post office at Stonewall. Built of local limestone in 1915, it was used as a post office until 1978. It's a provincially designated historic building. It's presently vacant and is being offered for sale. It is wonderful. I would encourage anybody interested to have a look.
So you're using a very specific word here as we go through this, Gordon. That's the word building. These are all buildings so far, but I can't help but notice that you also said this was a list of structures, and I'm wondering if that was intentional.
It was indeed, because, of course, there are things that are significant that aren't necessarily buildings, so we leave open the possibility that other things could be on the list. And in fact, number six is such a thing. It's a steel pony truss bridge. That's sort of a half-height steel bridge that in this case spans the Broken Head River east of Beausejour. It was built in 1927, so it's pretty close to 100 years old. It was on the original Trans-Canada Highway that, incidentally, the Pine Prairie Relic Run crossed just a couple of weeks ago. It's now on a very poorly maintained service road. The bridge's substructure, well, let's just say it needs restoration work to see that this historic bridge remains in service for another 100 years.
It's still a little early in the morning, Gordon, and I don't know if I can trust my counting completely, but I believe that brings us to number seven on the list.
Well, you are right. And it's a huge aircraft hangar at Brandon that was built in 1941 during the Second World War. It is now home to the Commonwealth Air Training Plan Museum, a wonderful museum commemorating this time in Canada's history. In 2022, damage to the hangar's wooden roof trusses was discovered, and the museum was forced to close. Luckily, temporary repairs have enabled it to reopen, but permanent repairs are necessary, and unfortunately, they're going to cost in excess of $6 million, so they are looking for funds right now. This is one of the few places in Canada that commemorates the Commonwealth Air Training Plan. If this doesn't get it, I don't know what would, so I'm really hopeful.
So as I look at number eight on this list, again, lots of these are buildings and structures that we've covered here on Abandoned Manitoba, and I seem to remember this next one from a couple of months ago.
Right you are. We discussed here the buildings that have been occupied through the year by newspapers. And of course, the newspaper industry isn't exactly thriving right now. We've seen numerous newspapers close over the last few years. Luckily, one that has not closed is the Brandon Sun in Brandon. It has, however, downsized, and in fact, in 2022, it moved out of a large building on Rosser Avenue that it had occupied going back to the 1960s. The building itself dates from 1948. Unfortunately, since it's been closed and it's been sitting vacant, it has been vandalized. And I drove by it the other day and I saw a huge plate glass window that had been shattered. So I'm worried about what its future might hold.
Always a shame hearing about vandalism to these endangered structures. That brings us to number 9 on this list, Gordon.
One of the most heartbreaking examples, in my view, in 1953, the Manitoba government opened a nursery in the Sandylands to grow trees to replace ones being cut in the forest industry. And now, of course, we discussed it here in December, the Pineland Forest Nursery, a state-of-the-art facility that closed abruptly in 2019. I think it still has potential to be reactivated. I am hopeful that it still can happen. The longer we wait, the more likely it is that it will never reopen.
And that brings us, unfortunately, to the 10th structure on this list that is endangered. What is the last structure on your list?
Well, of course, this is our youngest endangered structure, built in 1987. It's a massive concrete grain elevator constructed near Rosser to replace several smaller wooden elevators. Now, wooden elevators, of course, are almost a thing of the past. Concrete grain elevators are the way everybody's doing them these days. But even those are at risk because the early generation ones just simply aren't big enough, and they've been making even bigger ones. So in fact, in this case, a huge elevator replaced this one last year. This one's now sitting empty. It's merely 36 years old. What it really illustrates for me is the go big or go home theme that seems to be defining agriculture today.
I'm almost afraid to ask, after that sort of depressing look at these endangered structures, what are we discussing next week, Gordon?
We're going to be discussing a site in Brandon that was one of the creepiest places that I have ever visited in these 8 years of abandoned Manitoba. And I'll just say this, it involves a popular recreational sport.
Okay, I'm waiting on the edge of my seat to see what that is. But before we sign off today, Gordon, actually, I understand that you have a challenge for our listeners.
Yes, I do. So next week, from Thursday to Sunday, will be the Manitoba Threshermen's Reunion and Stampede at Austin. You know, it's a fun event with working antique farm equipment, a village of historic buildings, including the tree planting car. There's music, there's food, and a whole lot more. I have 2 pairs of complimentary tickets for one-day admission. They will go to the first listener who can answer this question. Last week, I described my trip to York Factory, but there was another place that I had really wanted to go but could not because of low water. Where was it?
And listeners can send that answer to our email address, weekend@cbc.ca. Gordon, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks for this. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.